Whore readers, welcome back to The Adulterous Whore. I'm your host, Stacey Wright. Now, this week, I picked the topic of books that feature the Salem Witch Trials. And the reason I did this is because I was in one of my book groups and this reader decided to liken the current relocation of books in schools to the Salem Witch Trials. And I kind of thought it might be a really interesting topic to talk about today. So what I did was I picked three fiction books that incorporate the history of the Salem Witch Trials, and then three that are nonfiction that will give you a really nice overview of what actually happened during that time. So this is going to be a really exciting episode. I literally spent the whole week picking and choosing books on the witch trials, and honestly, I must have... Look, I started at least 18 different fiction books, and it was really hard to find fiction books that actually incorporated the actual history and didn't deviate, because some of them are really loosey-goosey on the details, and I didn't want that for today. And then I had to find the right nonfiction books that basically gave the story in a fashion where you could understand the history, but not feel like someone was lecturing you. Because honestly, some of the books that I found, I literally felt like I was in Professor Binns' classroom and he was ranting at me. You know what I mean? Like the man and drama. And I didn't want to pick books that way. I'm hoping that if you're interested in the topic, that these books are some that you might go and read yourself. Now, I have a couple of notices before we move on. Now, somebody messaged me and was like, what do you use to read e-arcs on? Okay. And I actually bought the Kindle Paperwhite, and I bought it years ago. So when I first started doing reviewing, I literally bought this one because it seemed like the best value for the dollar back then. And honestly, it still stands up to the test of time right now. Like, I've had this for a long time, since I think 2017, 18, and it still works brilliantly. Like, the battery life is excellent and I use it a lot. I will recommend keeping it away from little chewers, because my chihuahua got hold of it and started chewing on it. So I recommend always have a case on it, because seriously, if you have pets or kids are just as bad. Okay. Well, my kids are anyway, but I literally went to go find my Kindle because I'm doing a book tour for Berkeley Books, and it was Finders Keepers. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's coming up. I should probably read the book. And I'm like, what the hell is that? So yeah, that ruined my whole weekend, And the other thing I was asked from somebody else, believe it or not, it was very weird email day, was what do I use to listen to audiobooks? Now, you don't have to wear headphones, because my friend actually uses one of those little pill speaker things and has it on in the kitchen while she's like doing her cleaning and cooking and whatnot. So you could go that route. But if you're like me and you're trying to block the kids out while you're listening to an audiobook, I can't do the in-ear things because they like, I don't know, maybe I've got weird ear holes, I don't know, but it hurts. So I don't like them. My husband, being the delightful man that he is, bought me Beats for Christmas the year before, and we got them through Apple. So Apple, when you buy their plan, I think it was like $40, and you got like 2 years of anything warranty, which was really handy, because these are my replacement ones, because I broke the last pair. I was wearing them for like 12 hours a day, okay? Like, it's not my fault. And like, you should have seen this bungee thing, they were gross. My husband was like, we should replace those. I'm like, no, my precious. Well, they would come for it for you on my ears, right? So I'm like, no. And then when we went in to get these replaced, she was like, my husband was like, she likes them like that. Don't ask. He was like, that was embarrassing. And the other thing is, I have a coupon code for my Etsy store. So bookalorindesigns.etsy.com. And I sell a lot of one-of-a-kind hook bookmarks. And I think I mentioned this in the last episode that I did, but I didn't show you what they look like, okay? They're basically like little metal with shepherd hooks. And these parts like go in between the pages, and this hangs down the spine, okay? And it's pretty, and you can kind of like, if you wanted to, put them on your shelf and just hang them off your books like this. And it's like a decoration too. Now, I handcraft these. I design these. I make 10 every time I sell one. So I have so many designs. Some of my best work, if you're like classic books, like this is a must have. But I only ever make one of every single one. And once it's gone, it's gone. But I have this deal for anybody that listens to my podcast that you can get them for 40% off. And all you have to do at checkout is put in the code LADULTURUS. Or you can put in the code, hang on, because I keep forgetting what I called it. It's called BOOKSTATALK. So BOOKSTATOK. So BOOKSTATALK. And you get 15% off anything in my store. It doesn't have to be hook bookmarks because I sell stickers and laminated bookmarks, magnet ones. So there's loads of stuff in there. You can check it out and have a look, okay? So getting back to the Salem Witch Trials. Now, I was really fascinated with the subject after watching Hocus Pocus when I was a kid. So this has always been something that has really been at the forefront of my mind for a very long time. So this is season 2, episode 4, Double Double Toil and Trouble, Burn the Witch, okay? So a lot of people understand that these witch trials happened, but they don't know exactly what happened. And basically, it was a series of hangings and prosecutions of people that were accused of witchcraft. And this was in Massachusetts, Salem, Massachusetts. And believe it or not, there was a town and a village, which I actually didn't know. So I learned something this week. And there was like something like 200 people were accused of witchcraft. And 20 in the end were hanged for the crime. Now, the whole witch trial was based on fear and mass hysteria. And there was a lot of social tensions between the town and the village. The Puritans were basically an extreme branch of religion. What happened was the English king, Henry VIII, had abolished Catholicism in England. So every king and queen after that kind of flip-flop back and forth on what religion their country was following. And when people left England to go to the New World, a lot of them had the belief system of you have to do right by God, but they didn't call themselves Catholics because that was seen as a crime. So Puritanism, or Calvinism, is the extreme version of it. So that really helped perpetuate the mania. Now, a lot of people were accused of witchcraft because of problems that they were having with their neighbors. So let's say the landowner next door wanted the farm and the owner didn't want to sell it. Well, accusing them of witchcraft was a really easy way of being able to buy that land dirt cheap once that person was convicted of a crime, right? So that was one of the biggest things about the witch trial, was it was used as an excuse to enrich oneself. And I kind of knew about this stuff, like the social inequalities and the problems that were happening, but I didn't realize just how bad it was. Like, it was bad. It was really bad. So it started off with these kids, and I say kids because some of them were as young as like 9, 12, up through their teenage years, and they claimed to be afflicted by witchcraft, and they accused women in the town. And all it did was like send this shockwave of like making accusations, and people became hysterical. It was absolute madness. If you think about it, it was quite a clever little brainwashing system for people to get what they wanted. Yeah, it was a bad time. In the end, 19 people were actually hanged. And there was one person, and he refused to plead guilty. Like, he refused to plead at all. And they ended up like crushing him, I think. And that's how he died. Like, oh, that's horrible. And they did this on the word of, we did this for God. Like, wow. I couldn't imagine being alive in that time. I really couldn't imagine that. Now, the aftermath is really, you know, it set the whole tone, because this didn't last long. Like, the hysteria of the witch trials in Salem didn't last very long, but the impact and the history is still talked about today. So, yeah, that tells you something, right? And honestly, we haven't really learned a lot from our history because we repeat it. We do. We repeat it. So before we get into the books that I picked for this topic, I actually want to just do a Indie Files spotlight. Now, I received a copy of a book from an indie author, and her pen name is Ophelia. And it's called The Lady and the Unicorn. And it's, you know what, the cover is absolutely spectacular. I actually meant to bring it with me when I came in and shut the door, but I completely forgot it. I think I left it on my desk, my crafting desk, but whatever. It looks absolutely perfection. And considering the fact that she's an independent author and she went the route of actually paying for this book to be printed to ship to me in hopes of getting an honest review. Like, she obviously believes in herself, and I actually really cannot wait to start this book. I am really, really excited. Now, I want to do something called the Adulterous Reads of the Week, and I'm just going to tell you about what I have been reading, what they were about, and what I thought about them. Now, I started the week out with We Live Here Now by Sarah Pinborough. Now, I am a huge fan of this woman's work, and it all started from a Netflix TV show called Behind Her Eyes. I don't know if you have seen the TV show, but okay, it was crazy. The show was crazy. And then when I found out it was a book, I went and got her whole back catalog of audiobooks, ebooks, whatever I could find cheap to get hold of them immediately, I did it. And honestly, I have not been disappointed with her, not once. Now, this book, it's literally about these two people, Emily and Freddie, and they have just bought a house. Like, she got into an accident. She lost their baby. She was pregnant. And they've just bought this house. And there's this weird stuff going on in this house. But they both have been keeping secrets from each other. And you can kind of see how things are starting to unravel. And it's one of those books where Sarah likes to mix genres. So she does horror thriller kind of mashup. And I love it because it's always a very slight supernatural feel to her work. Like, she always adds it in, and it's not like a big part, but it's enough just to like tease your little senses. And I love her for that. I honestly think that if you love thrillers, that she has to be somebody you have to give a shot. Now, I know a lot of people think that she's not brilliant. Like, they usually say she's a 3.5-star, 4-star kind of author. I don't agree with that. I think she's wonderful. And I think her writing is really spectacular. Next, I did Shield of Sparrows. And that one is by Devney Perry. Now, oh my God, this book. Now, I had to get the audiobook from the library because I bought a copy of it. But it's a hardcover and it's got sprayed edges. And I don't want anyone to touch it with their disgusting little fingers. And that includes me. So I had to wait for the audiobook. Oh God, this book is long. Like, it's a long audiobook, and I almost DNF'd it 3 times. No joke. I got maybe 5 hours in, like at my speed. So that's like an hour and something. And I'm like, all I really know about what's going on is that she's a princess. Her name's Odessa. She's a princess. She is being made to marry this prince from another land to satisfy some kind of, I don't know, they had some kind of magical oath between their kingdoms and whatnot. And she had to go and live with him away from her home. And that's pretty much all I got after 5 hours. And I'm like, does this get any better? And I sent a message to my co-host for our other podcast. And I'm like, please tell me this gets better. Because right now, nothing's happening. And I get that she's world building and she's setting the scene and whatnot. I'm like, but the scene's getting pretty tiresome. And she convinced me to keep going, so I did. And actually, you know what? I really enjoyed it by the end of it. I really did. I think if you can get past the first 40% of the book, you're golden. And I'm actually very excited to get the next installment, which I believe she is in the process of writing right now. So excellent. If you like fantasy books, you should definitely give that one a go. And then, I don't even remember why I picked it, but I was curious about JFK. It was on Libby and it was Borrow Right Now. So I did. And oh my God, I don't recommend it. I don't. Because as a conspiracy theorist, because I do like my conspiracies, I do not appreciate somebody still touting the same BS line that we've been getting since the 60s, which is that he was a lone gunman. There's no effing way he is a lone gunman. I'm sorry, There is more going on than that. So I don't know how this book even got published. I really don't, because it's given us nothing new. But I did enjoy learning a little bit more about the life of JFK and Jackie as a family. And I learned things that I didn't know before. But if you're looking at his assassination, this book was not it. And I'm not even going to say what it is, because honestly, meh. The last book I finished was The Bachelorette Party by Camilla Sten. Now, I have a love-hate relationship with this author. Now, I read one of her books and it was brilliant. And then I read another one of her books and I could not stand it. The way, I don't know, there was just something about the book. And I just was like, meh. And then I went on Instagram and somebody had mentioned that she had a new book out and it was available on NetGalley. So I went and had a look and it sounded interesting enough. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to request it. And if I don't get it, I'm not going to get upset about it. And I did. I got a copy of it. So I read it. And actually, you know what? It was pretty good. It's about these women and they're going on a bachelorette party on this island where years beforehand, four women just disappeared, believed to have drowned. Now, everything seems okay and cool. One of them is a true crime podcaster and she believe something bad happened there, and then all this stuff started happening. So she was clearly right. The tone of the writing is ominous. Like she is the queen of like pulling out every single little dark fiber. That was probably my best one of hers so far. So if you like thrillers, you should probably give her a go. Now, I always do this because it's publication day, but I'm going to just give you the lowdown on the books that I want to read or have read already that are out today. So the first one is A Far Better Thing by H.D. Parry. And that one is a historical fantasy. This one is in my list so hard. It's already in my Amazon cart. Before Dorothy by Hazel Rayner. And that one is a historical fiction. Now, people have been talking about this book in my historical fiction Facebook group. And I just, I don't normally take book recommendations to people on Facebook because they tend to not jibe with what I like. But this one is on my radar so hard. Bad Creek by Peyton June. And this one is a young adult LGBTQ book. And somebody did a TikTok video and was talking about it. This book, it looks phenomenal. Beach Reads and Deadly Deeds by Alison Brennan. And this one is a science fiction crime thriller. And it's literally because it's a science fiction crime thriller that is on my radar. Because I'm like, that is the kind of mashup I need this week. That is the kind of mashup I need. I am waiting for my Libby haul because I want to do the audiobook and I refuse to keep paying for Audible because that is some pricey shit right there. Coming in Hot by Josie Juniper, and that is a sports romance. Now, this one, I made the decision to try more sports romance books, and I think this one might be hockey or car racing. I can't remember which one, but the cover looked really good, so I'm like, I'm in. 7 Year Itch by Amy Dawes, and that one is a rom-com. Now, Amy Dawes knows how to write a bloody book, so I'm all over it. I don't care what it's about. It's coming to me. Okay, Sean Connolly Lives to Tell by Gillian French, and this one is a mystery. Now, I got a paperback copy of this one and the audiobook version. Mwah! Book is excellent. If you like mysteries, Gillian French knows how to write a bloody story, and I really think that if you like audiobooks, you have never tried one, but you want to try one, you should try this one first. The Ripple Effect by Maggie North. And this one is a contemporary romance. Now, this one, I started and stopped a few times because I had other things going on, but the book was really good. Once it hooked, I kept reading. So don't assume that just because I didn't get hooked right away that it's not a good book. That was just, I was busy, okay? I was busy, but it is well worth the read. I highly recommend it. And the last one is When the Music Hits by Amber Oliver. And that one is an urban fantasy. Now, my friend got an ebook of this one, an ARC, because it's obviously just come out today. And she was, you need this book. And I was like, meh, whatever. But by the time I went to request it from NetGalley, they'd already given out all the copies they were given. So it is on my list. I'm definitely going to read it. It looks really good. Now we're at the meat and potatoes. This is my favorite part. So I literally spent the whole week and I read books and it was illuminating. Okay, illuminating. I'm going to start with the fiction books. So the first one I started with was The Heretic's Daughter by Kathleen Kent. Now, this is book two of a series. I don't know if she's written any more books than that because I've only read book one and book two. I own book two in a paperback copy there. I don't know if you can see, but my shelves, I've got books and then behind it is more books. And downstairs, I've got totes and suitcases and shelves and it's madness. And I got shelves over there too. So my whole house is full of books. So trying to remember what I did with it, because I've read it before and I reread it again this time around for this. Trying to remember where I put it because I've got no organizational skills. It was just easier to borrow it from the library. So the book is basically about Martha Carrier. And she was one of the first women accused, tried, and hung as a witch. Now, she is a real person. This book is told from Sarah's perspective about her mother. Now, Sarah is bright, willful, and openly challenging in the small, brutal world in which they live. Often at odds with one another, mother and daughter are forced to stand together against the escalating hysteria of the trials and superstitious tyranny that led to the torture and imprisonment of more than 200 people accused of witchcraft. Now, this is basically her story of her defiance and her death and how her daughter survived through it. Now, Kathleen Kent is a 10th generation descendant of Martha Carrier. So this is her family lineage. So she's got information that no one else probably had pulled down from her ancestry, which I thought was really cool. And I think that was one of the reasons why originally I grabbed the two books in this series when I bought them years ago, because I'm like, who's going to know better? Somebody that's probably heard the stories from her relatives, from her ancestors. That was so goddamn cool. Now, I really enjoyed this book. I really enjoyed the fact that there was a lot of information in there that stayed true to what actually happened, but it was given to us in an entertaining and fictional way. So, as it's written through Martha's daughter's eyes, it gives us a really unique twist on the way this story was told. Now, I found with most historical fiction books that the book tended to be a little dry, and that's just part and parcel of historical fiction. But I really don't think that that takes away from the enjoyment. So if you like books that have a character-driven narrative and tends to stay true to historical facts, I really think you should give this one a go. So the second fiction book that I picked is The Sacrifice by Kathleen Benner Dubel, okay? This one is basically the town of Salem is in a state of panic over the idea of witches living amongst them. Abigail and her sister are suddenly arrested for being witches themselves. But when their trial date nears, their mother makes the ultimate sacrifice for them, forcing the two girls to make the decision to turn on their mother in order to save their own lives. This one was really a very powerfully impacting book. It was a super fast read. It was historically very interesting. And it was more Salem adjacent than actual Salem witch trials, because I don't know if you know, but there was more witch trials all across America during this time. And the Salem hysteria had just started to die down. And this was basically the next town over. I think it was Alexandria. I can't remember. It's gone out of my head. But again, this author was writing about her ancestors' stories. So during the witch trials in 1692, so it had a much more realistic feel. And I love books like this. This is one of the reasons why I picked it, because I really feel like you get more out of it when somebody is putting their own history down on paper. And the writing was amazing, amazing, but it was bleak as F, okay? Like, you just, it's horribly tragic. It's so tragic. Like a train derailment, and you know it's going to happen. You know it's going to crash. You know it's going to be horrific, but you can't stop looking at it. Now, like I said, this one also stayed true to the history. And because I enjoyed it so much, I actually just ordered a paperback copy for my shelves. My husband, he's big into collecting books on the occult. So we have a lot of witchcraft books here, how to do tarot readings and stuff like that. Like that's something that we're both very interested in, how everything has changed over the years, history books and all that kind of stuff. So I really think this would be a really great book to add to our collection. Okay. Yes, we're weird. Get over it. The last book I picked for the fiction section was How to Hang a Witch by Adriana Mather. Now, I love these two books, okay? This is like a series. This is book one. So it's basically like the Salem Witch Trials meets Mean Girls. This was a debut novel written by the author, and it's basically the trials of high school starts to feel like modern day witch hunt for a teen with all the wrong connections to Salem's past. And I picked this one because it wasn't historical fiction. I think it's a young adult. So you can kind of see the mirror image of how impactful her history was with her current day. I'm fairly certain that Adriana, this is her family's history as well. Like she has ties to a relative that was accused of witchcraft. I just can't remember. Oh, Cotton Mather. Cotton Mather was one of her ancestors. So I really hope that you try these books out if you're interested in these fiction books, because every single author had something personally at stake writing these books. So it was brilliant. Like this one of my favorites. Like I've read it before. I own two copies because I think I bought a copy for my daughter and she wasn't interested. So I kept both copies. And again, it's rich in history and it gives you the modern day kind of feel as well as the past stuff. And I loved it. I loved it. And I really enjoyed doing the reread. Now I kind of wished that my library had the audio book because I really think I would have got more out of it, but they didn't even have it. And I checked both my, because I got two library cards, I checked both and there was a big fat no. So moving on to the nonfiction section, what I did was I tried to pick books that were easily accessible, that had all the information in there without boring you to death. Because I don't know if you are like me, I don't read a ton of nonfiction books. But if I do, I at least want to be entertained and I don't want somebody droning at me. I do not like it. I'm not in school anymore. We don't have to deal with that. So I picked three books and funnily enough, all three of them were on Kindle Unlimited. So if you have Kindle Unlimited, you can find these books really easy. And they weren't the only ones that were on there. It's just these were the three of all the ones that I read through and checked through. And oh God, it was a process. Like I'm surprised I got any of my own reading in this week. Like it was mental. It was a mental week, but it was fun. I had a really good time learning about this stuff. The first book is The True Story of America's Most Famous Witch Hunt, The Salem Witch Trials. And this one's written by Vanessa Weber. Now I picked her book because it was very basically written, meaning that if you're a complete newbie, you're a novice, you know nothing other than what we know on Hocus Pocus, which is nothing. It was easy to follow and it didn't pad out the chapters with a bunch of filler crap because I really hate that. If you don't have anything to say, don't make it up to fill up words or space. This book does not do this. So I really appreciated that. So what she did was she broke it down just like this. Who was accused and why? She also then discusses the court case, talks about who the judge was, talks about who the witnesses for the prosecution were, talks about the people who resisted this craziness and hysteria, then the aftermath of what happened after the trials and the executions. Now, this book was epic. It was brilliant. It's a really great resource if you are looking for facts and information about the witch trials that you don't usually get in other books. Now, it is short. It didn't take me very long to blitz through it. So for some people, that might not be a good thing. If you're like me, I like my nonfiction books to be a little bit meatier, but I really think it covered all the key points, things that other books don't tend to cover. So the second nonfiction book I picked was Unraveling Dark History and Its Impacts on Society by Mark Degas. This one was a little bit more in depth. It gives you an overview of the trial and the significance it has on history today. It talks about the causes, the people, and the aftermath in more detail. It talks about the Puritans and their extreme religious beliefs. It's all broken down into these sections, okay? So it's not flip-flopping all over the place, which I really enjoyed. It talks about the life of a Puritan and the problems between Salem Town and Salem Village. It talks about the rigid life the Puritans had to adhere to. It talks about the trials, but not in as much depth as the other book did, which was fine. It talks about the economic and social divides that experts feel started the whole mania. Greed was used for personal gain. And that's a big hot topic in this book. And honestly, I think I agree with that. It was an interesting book because it took the mania and put it into perspective that this was done out of greed, that it was done purely for people to get rid of things that were standing in their way. They were annoyed by things, there was turmoil. So this was a really good way for them to get that out of the way. And they used that to their advantage. Now, they could have stopped this. They could have stopped this, but they didn't. It was a really interesting way it was put forward. And I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed his book. It was a great resource. It was less about the trial so much, but more about how we ended up at the trials. You know what I mean? So yeah, I loved it. Great book. And the last book is A History from Beginning to End, Salem Witch Trials. And this was written by Owly History. Now, I didn't know that this was even a thing, but Owly History has like a bunch of books. So yeah, check out more of those. So this one is excellent because it broke down everything into easy to devour sections. It starts talking about the Puritans of the Mayfair, so like them coming over and whatnot. It talks about life in New England, so it was a little bit of a different twist on the lives before the trials. What caused the trials, the accusations, and all the hysteria, and the way it's laid out is quite brilliant. It's quite brilliant. The first executions and the death of Corey for refusing to plead. Now, that was probably the most horrific part for me, was what happened there. Honestly, you might want to trigger warning that. So you might want to skip it if you are a little bit, you know, not so great with that kind of stuff. But honestly, as far as history goes, this was really well written, like really well written. And it ends with like talking about the Salem Witch Trials and popular culture. That part of it was actually really clever of the author to put that in there. Now, honestly, I was riveted. It was probably my favorite of all the books that I read this week. And I really think I should add it to my shelves. Now, right now, I haven't found, like, I'd like it in a hardcover. I think I only found it in paperback, and that really did not sit well with me. But these books answered a lot of questions I had about the witch trials without going online and sifting through all the data on, you know, Wiki and all that crap. So if you are interested in the witch trials, I really think you should give some of these books a try. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. It was a lot of fun for me researching. You know what the best part is? The researching. I do like filming too. I do not like editing. So if anyone wants to take that over, you're more than welcome to do it. But I really enjoy sitting down, going through books. You know what I should start doing? I should start going into my local library and talking to a librarian and maybe recording some of the things inside the library. It's on my list to do, but I am a mother. You can probably hear my crazed son running around like a lunatic. So it's really hard to get out of the house to do these things sometimes, but it is something I'd like to do. Now, if you did enjoy my episode, I don't know where you're watching it, but maybe if you give me a follow there on Spotify or Apple Music, wherever you are, youtube.com/@ladulterous, I'd be really, really grateful. It helps other people find me. And the more people that find me, the more content I'm going to want to do because, you know, it's kind of exciting. I'm kind of enjoying myself. If you'd like to find me on my social medias, I am on TikTok @ladulterous. I am on Bookstagram, and that one is Ladulterous Whore. You can find me on Facebook, but that is a really annoying one. I think I'm going to change the name of it. So it's easier to find it. I'm just going to change that to Ladulterous. But right now it's A Ladulterous Whore with a 0 instead of an O. I think it might make more sense to do it that way. And I think I might change it on Instagram too. I just haven't decided yet. Like, changing it up for season 2 has made me go, woo, I don't know what I'm bloody doing. which is fine. I really hope to see you next week. I've had a lot of fun. And if you have any topics for me, just send me an email, ladulterous@gmail.com. I hope you have the reading week you deserve, and you will see me on Friday. Take care, readers.